Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The deadline for a partial government shutdown is less than 2 weeks away, with the House rejecting a Republican stopgap plan. CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland from the Capitol.
No matter the results of this U.S. House vote, the Republican offer was never going to become law. The House Republicans were going to extend government funding, keep the lights on, keep the doors open through March 28th, but also attaching a provision making it unlawful for undocumented immigrants to vote. That stood no chance in the Senate because Democrats say it's already unlawful for them to vote. It doesn't actually happen, and it fuels baseless conspiracy theories.
The bill failed 202 to 220. House Speaker Mike Johnson now must decide if he'll keep pursuing the voting bill or just move forward with straight spending legislation. Former President Donald Trump held a rally after a second apparent assassination attempt on Sunday.
Former President Donald Trump was welcomed by a friendly crowd on Long Island, New York, Wednesday.
We are going to win New York.
The Empire State usually votes Democrat in the presidential race, but Republicans are trying to hold on to the U.S. House and are pushing to protect lawmakers in vulnerable districts.
Skylar Henry reporting, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Washington courting the Latino vote. A manhunt is over that brought fear to a rural area in southeast Kentucky. Police say they found a body believed to be the man who opened fire on vehicles a week and a half ago. State Police Commissioner Philip Burnett Jr.
Troopers had been searching in the area all day and had noticed vultures in the air. They continued to try and locate the exact nature or the area that the vultures were circling in.
The Federal Reserve took a big step, cutting its benchmark interest rate by a half point. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger breaks down what that means for you.
Interest rates still are high, and that means you'll get a high interest rate on a high-yield savings account or a certificate of deposit or a money market account. But those interest rates are coming down, and savers are on alert. They know that the party is about to come to a close.
There was celebration in Portland, Oregon. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert.
I am honored to officially announce that we have awarded Portland the 15th WNBA franchise.
Portland once had a WNBA franchise, the Portland Fire, which folded in 2002. Shohei Ohtani notched his 49th steal in the Dodgers' win over the Marlins in his quest to become the first in Major League Baseball with 50 homers and 50 steals in a season. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. Use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week, Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee. There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week.
He was limited.
Team.
He was limited. take that however you want.
Love said that he's taking everything a day at a time as he works back from an MCL sprain he suffered in the season opener.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to take it day by day and see.
The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy and light southeast winds for the overnight, mid-50s by sunrise. On Thursday, we'll see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, a storm or two late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-80s, better chance of rain Thursday night. Right now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. So glad you could join us on this Wednesday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Boy, it's one of those nights where it feels good to be alive. It's a gorgeous night outside. We had a harvest moon last night. I driving home last night during my commute, it was gorgeous. Like the whole way, I was just constantly reminded that the fact that I don't have cell reception for much of the way doesn't really bother me because the moon is so beautiful. The moon. That's terrible. It just ruins the whole joke.
The moon.
It was a full moon. It was a harvest moon. So, yes, it is a gorgeous night in Wisconsin. And it is even better because we are on the air and we can talk about really fun, cool stuff. And we've got a lot of it to get to tonight. We're going to talk about, right out of the gate, I saw this article I thought was really fascinating about a kid who's like 13 and has the record for the largest hands and feet in the world. And it was such a weird thing because his family's saying like, well, it's important to stand out. So I don't know if I'd want that kind of fame, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about coffee. We've got great guests tonight from the Hendricks Family Distillery in Eureka, Wisconsin, which is about 20 miles west of Oshkosh. Carl and Peggy Hendricks will be here. Carl is the spirit maker, and Peggy runs the business. Peggy's his mother. They're going to be here in the studio talking about how they make their vodka and their rum, and I think they make whiskey. So we'll talk about all that stuff with them. I find it fascinating. I want to know how these things are made. And I want to know, like, because there are wineries everywhere. They pop up all over the place, microbreweries all over the place. You don't hear of too many places that make their own spirits. Or maybe you do, but mostly they're like mass-produced. Maker's Mark, Glenlivet, Tullamore Dew, you know, Tito's Vodka. Like, I don't hear of too many mom-and-pop places, and that doesn't mean they don't exist. I might just not have my finger on the pulse, but I'm very excited to talk to the Hendricks family tonight about their business and what they do. That will be exciting. That's coming up at 6:35. And then Sarah Enwald. She comes to us, Conrad, all the way from Cedarburg. Have you heard of Cedarburg?
I have, yes.
It is a lovely little burg. And Sarah is she's in charge this weekend. They have a big wine and harvest festival. She's the festival manager for Festivals of Cedarburg, which apparently is a nonprofit group, and Sarah runs the whole shebang. So we will ask her about their wine and harvest festival this weekend. So kind of a booze-related theme tonight. You might need a designated driver just from listening. We're going to be talking booze, spirits and wine and harvest. If we get to the harvest, maybe Sarah has some insights on the harvest moon. Did you see the moon last night, Conrad?
I did. Yes.
Gorgeous.
It was great.
I got home and I walked down to the water. It was like the whole, it was like all of Green Bay was illuminated and sparkling at 9 o'clock at night. It was so stunningly beautiful. And you know what I saw? I saw a fish jump. I've seen this like two other times in my life. The moon is shining on the water and a fish jumps up in the moonlight out of the water, like, I don't know, 3 feet and back in. It was like this magical Mother Nature moment. And sure enough, you got, you know, to capture something like that on your camera will never happen. You have to like anticipate it. And it's over so quick. It's such a split second, but it was such a beautiful moment. So cool. Yeah, lots going on. So the Hendricks family will be here, and Sarah Enwald will be here. We'll talk about what's going on in Cedarburg this weekend. I want to talk about coffee because I read this. This was a fascinating, it's just some fun tidbits about coffee, which I don't think we've really talked about yet on this show in almost 9 months, by the way. Conrad, I don't know if you realize we've been on that long.
Yeah.
Close to 9 months. Mm-hmm. The Big Nine. That's a milestone in radio, the Big Nine. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's
kind, I have, kind of a actually, thing. No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. You just learned something today. Coffee has a stranglehold on many of us these days. So not surprisingly, most coffee lovers, it says, take it seriously. And seriously is all capped, so you know they mean business, the writers of this poll. In a new poll, more than half of American coffee drinkers say a good cup of coffee is so powerful it can turn one of their worst days around. And that's saying something because many people have coffee first thing in the morning. That's when I do. When the only bad things that have happened so far are the alarm clock. Great point. The notifications on your phones. On the flip side, 31% said their entire day can be ruined if their coffee isn't right. So maybe that's why less people are willing to leave that importance up to Starbucks or some coworker in the break room. 70% of coffee drinkers prefer making their own at home, while just 12% prefer going to a shop, a coffee shop. So I am totally in this category. I make my own coffee at home just the way I like it. And I set it up the night before, and I have this routine where I have to take it when the whole pot is not brewed yet. I usually brew like 2 cups at a time because I'll have about a cup and a half, and then 3 hours later, I'll have another cup. But I try to get it just right. Perfect coffee, like in the measure with the water, that's very important to me. And I drink it out of a mug that is kind of a narrow cylinder. I feel like you have to keep the mug narrow so the taste is nowhere to hide. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah. I'm here with you.
I mean, everybody has their routine, and I get bummed out. Like, if we're taking a trip somewhere, and I know we're stopping in Starbucks anyway on the way out of town, I'll do Starbucks. But it kind of bums me out. I like my own coffee, and I have to have it first thing in the morning. So I totally fit this profile of this poll. And if something does go wrong, you know, my whole day's out of whack. So our question tonight is, who makes the best coffee? Is it you? Is it Starbucks? Is it McDonald's? Is it something you buy in the store? Is it Maxwell House? There's no right or wrong answer. Tell me who makes the best coffee. I would love to know what you think. And you can text your answer at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can let us know on the stream. Conrad, how can people let us know on the stream?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, WGBW, or Nightlight with Beachwaba. On YouTube, WGBW, or Civic Media. And on Twitter, or X, WGBW, Civic Media.
Let us know anyway, but let us know. It's fun to read your texts on the air. And I'm going to say my favorite coffee, and this is no relation, but I like Pete's Coffee. And it's a little more mainstream now. P-E-E-T-S. Pete's, like Pete Moss. No, that's not how you spell Pete Moss. It's just Pete's Coffee, P-E-E-T-S. Not every store carries it, but apparently the owner of Pete's and Howard Schultz, who owns Starbucks, started as partners. But the owner of Pete's Coffee did not like how much they burnt the beans in Starbucks coffee. They split up. Starbucks obviously is Starbucks. It's a multi-gazillion dollar industry, whatever. And Pete's has a smaller reputation and operation, but I would say, to me, it's just dynamite coffee. There's another coffee I get in the store, too, called Javalia, I really like. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They have a great dark roast. And a friend of mine used to order Cafe Brit, a Costa Rican coffee from South America that was very good, too. Those three are the best store-bought coffees I've ever tasted. And like I said, I'll do Starbucks if push comes to shove. People do backflips over McDonald's coffee. I don't really get that. Conrad, weigh in here. What do you think about coffee? What is your relationship to coffee? And where do you get your coffee, young man?
Well, I love coffee. And I do drink it mostly every morning. And I actually love iced coffee. Okay. I don't do warm even in the winter.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just love the taste of ice cold coffee. It's like almost water, it feels like. But yeah. It's not. It's like, you know what I mean? So I go to Sam's Club, and they have a pretty good deal on Starbucks iced coffee there.
Okay.
It comes in two big jugs.
You just buy it all mixed together?
No.
Or it's just a plain coffee?
It's just cold coffee.
Gotcha.
And I use my own ice, and then I have a little bit of creamer that I get from the store. Either it's, I can't remember the company, but I really like hazelnut.
Oh, the creamer? Coffee Mate?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's the big one.
But it's the zero sugar one.
Okay.
And that one's really good in it. So hazelnut, or I just tried, I don't know how you're going to think about this one, but it's called Twix. Like that Twix candy bar.
Oh, that's the creamer you use in your coffee?
I tried doing something different this time. And
a little sweeter?
Surprisingly, it's not that sweet.
Huh.
It's pretty good, but I enjoy the hazelnut better. But yeah, that's my coffee.
I was all about, when I first started drinking coffee, I fell in love with, first of all, I probably didn't start drinking coffee till I was like 25 or 26. I always loved the smell of it.
Yeah.
But I would taste it and I'd go, I don't get it. And then something just clicked and I started drinking coffee like there was no tomorrow. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And my friend Paul Gilmartin, who's been on the show a couple times, he said he turned me on to Pete's, and he said it tastes like coffee smells. And I was like, man, that is a great slogan for a company. Because everybody, even non-coffee drinkers, like the smell of coffee. But not everybody loves the taste of it. And some people will say proudly, I've never touched a cup of coffee. Like, well, it's good for you. It's a superfood. It's got antioxidants. I mean, you can't down it like crazy with caffeine. It's the caffeine that makes you a little nutty. But coffee's good for you. So that's our question. Wow, that was fun. It was fun to talk about coffee. That's how much I like it. So I do like the Starbucks has like a brown sugar iced coffee too. I don't know if you ever tasted that, but it's just coffee, brown sugar, and what else? There's something else in it. It's really good.
I will say I really, for iced coffee, I only get French vanilla or hazelnut. I don't like anything too sweet in iced coffee.
I used to go hazelnut too, but now I just go straight oat milk. Just a dash. A dash.
I do like having milk. Actually, I do like cold brews as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Starbucks does a really good one. But I'll say Pete's is the company I use for my Keurig. K-Cups.
Yeah, isn't that good stuff?
It's really good.
It's like the perfect mix. Okay, so coming up next on Nightlight, we're going to have a little talk about Tommy Lee Jones and a kid with really huge hands. And then we're talking booze at 6:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, I swear, baby, at this moment.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new text to win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
We're back. We missed you. Kristen from Eau Claire sent a smiley face emoji. Maybe that was just the coffee talk that got her thinking, I need to send a smiley face emoji because there's nothing else. So thank you, Kristen. It's nice to hear from you. Jim from Appleton said, wait a minute. For me? Oh, Jim from Appleton says, for me, it's me, meaning he makes his own coffee. Same here, Jim. I make the best coffee in my own opinion. So that is why I'm with you. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting that we're talking about booze tonight. We're going to talk about wine or wine later in the second hour, but right now, or in a few minutes, we're going to talk about vodka and spirits with a few members of the Hendrix family. And then we're going to talk about wine in the second hour. And I think that's a good, coffee's a good thing to talk about after you talk about booze, because sometimes you need coffee after you've had too much. We don't do that. I don't indulge anymore. I don't overdo it. Do you ever overdo it? When's the last time you had a hangover, Conrad?
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. What'd you do?
Bacon and Beer Fest.
Oh, how do we not talk about that?
Well, this is what I'll say. I was disappointed in it.
Really?
Because there was not enough bacon. Oh. There's only three bacon tents. How do you put it in the name? and it wasn't even like you get strips of bacon or anything. It was just little pieces and like a dip or something. No, it wasn't. The beer was good. It was very good.
Okay.
But, you know, you go to like 12 different beer tents, you need some bacon with it.
Yeah. And if you're calling it Beer and Bacon Fest, don't run out of bacon.
Yeah.
Have enough to go around.
It was a little depressing on the bacon side.
I'll say this too, in regard to coffee, one of my best memories is waking up at my grandma's cottage in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, and she would have coffee going every morning. I think it was just like Folgers. It was before the coffee boom where coffee had to be the greatest thing ever. And bacon. That's what I woke up to every morning was coffee and bacon. And to this day, I had coffee and bacon this morning. I had bacon and eggs and coffee. And something about coffee and bacon just rules.
It is so good. And especially if you have a good, I like a little sweeter bacon with the coffee, you know?
Like the maple or?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Sherry, hope you're having a great night. Thanks for joining us. And then who sent this? Is that Sherry? The coffee meme? Coffee time?
Yes.
I love it. From the 818, Bridget says, Grandma Peg says she always drank Folgers. That's one of the staples. And Maxwell House probably had a big war in the 70s. The coffee wars, kind of like the cocaine wars. Bridget says, my husband makes the best coffee. Makes it every day for me. Well, that's nice, Bridget. Thank you for sharing that. And that's another homegrown. That's two homegrown coffee favorites. Jim from Appleton says, Quick Trip Cafe Kruba, or is that supposed to be Aruba? Is a close second.
No, that's Kruba.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah.
Okay. He says that's a close second because I can flavor it myself. Okay. And that's important, too. If you can't make your own, put your own spin on it. That's great. Steve, Conrad's dad, checking in. I got to say, I love to make my own coffee at home in the morning. My lovely wife just bought me a new coffee machine that is made by Ninja. I've heard of these. A little slower brew, but the end result is perfect. With my job, I sell all food service items, including in this is a 62 different styles of coffee, which are very good. But my ultimate brand coffee is Dunkin' Donuts. Boy, your dad is not fussy, Conrad.
Well, he has the bags of it.
Yeah,
and then he makes it with the. It's a Ninja now, but it used to be the Keurig, you know?
Right. And those are good too. I like those a lot too. I like the Dunkin' Donuts, but I like Dunkin' Donuts better when I make it at home. I can make it as rich as I want. I can get a dark roast. When I buy it at the store, every time I buy coffee at the store, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's, it tastes like, or diner coffee, it tastes like coffee-flavored water. It tastes more like water.
Dunkin' Donuts, I say, does not have good coffee in their store.
You're in the minority there.
I do
seriously,
not.
Like no, I applaud you for saying, but most people like, oh, they swear by Dunkin' Donuts. And a lot of people die on the hill of McDonald's coffee.
Yeah, honestly, McDonald's coffee, if you're in a rush, it's not bad.
All right. From the 714, my favorite coffee is Tim Hortons. I have not tried Tim Hortons.
I haven't either.
That's interesting. Learn something new every day. Sherry says she still drinks Folgers. Sherry is so old school. That's so cool. I would expect nothing less of you, Sherry. I drank Maxwell House until about 10 years ago. Not all the time. I went on like maybe a 2-year bender with Maxwell House, and I would make it rich. And I was just like, you know, I'm saving so much money. And then I was like, you know, I really don't like Maxwell House that much, so I'm going to spend a little more money and get the coffee I want. But Folgers is good. They've been doing it for years. All right, great text. Keep them coming. Who makes the best coffee? Is it you? Is it the diner down the street? Is it Starbucks? McDonald's? Let us know. All right, so Tommy Lee Jones had a birthday. You know, I don't think we have time to do this clip, do we?
No.
Oh, what a bummer. All right, we'll save that. This is a great... Tommy Lee Jones is such a great actor. Let's do this in honor of the Hendrix family who are here. Do you have that Simpsons clip?
Yes.
Do we have time for that?
Yeah.
This is Homer and his friends touring the Duff Brewery and a cop waiting around the corner for all the beer tours to come out. We're doing this because we have people from a distillery here and it's awesome. Roll it.
Hey, Barney, I think you've had enough.
Are you crazy? We still haven't tried Raspberry Duff, Lady Duff, Tartar Control Duff.
Barney, give me your keys. You're too drunk to drive.
I'm fine.
Okay. You leave me no option.
Ow! What was that for?
I'm trying to knock you out.
Ow! Cut it out! Ow! 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 All right, here, take the keys.
Look alive, boys. Couple of stewed prunes heading your way.
Gulp. WXYNZ. Now I know my ABCs. Won't you come and play with me?
Flawless. We also would have accepted Tell Me What You Think of Me.
Huh, I guess you're free to...
Give him the breathalyzer!
You're under arrest.
Don't! Oh. Think you can get this car home?
Sure thing, giant beer!
Ooh! Ow! Oh, ow! Mother of mercy! Hey, this is kind of fun! Whee!
And of course, is Chief Wiggum rolling down the street in a garbage can. One of my favorite episodes when they tour the Duff Brewery. All right, coming up after Civic Media's award-winning news, we have two members of the Hendrix family here to talk about their awesome product. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
CBS News Brief. The House rejected a Republican bill to avert a partial government shutdown in less than 2 weeks.
On this vote, the yeas are 202. The nays are 220. Two voting present. The bill is not passed.
Police say they found a body which they believe is the man suspected of shooting at vehicles on a Kentucky interstate a week and a half ago. Laurel County Sheriff John Root says he wishes he had been found alive.
Live, we could ask him what his intentions was. We could have put him through the courts. The prosecutors could have prosecuted him, and he'd have paid for what he'd done.
The WNBA announced a new franchise, its 15th, and a return to Portland, Oregon in 2026. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert.
This is a celebration of women's sports and of the continued growth of our league.
Portland had a team for 3 years that folded in 2002. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 24 people are hurt after an accident at an apple orchard. It happened in Chippewa Falls Wednesday during a school trip. The Chippewa County Sheriff says two tractor-pulled hay wagons crashed into each other. People have anywhere from minor to serious injuries, with at least three of them having life-threatening injuries. An air quality alert for some parts of the state. 13 southern Wisconsin counties have air deemed unhealthy for certain groups Wednesday night. That means people with asthma, heart issues, kids, and the elderly may have a tougher time breathing if they're outside for too long. If you live in the southern part of the state, you may have noticed that haze. We have had lots of these advisories last summer because of the wildfires in Canada. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. California Governor Gavin Newsom is proving to be a friend of the biz. Newsom just signed a bill that gives performers more protections and more control over their likeness when it comes to AI. The governor signed two bills into law on Tuesday at SAG headquarters in Los Angeles. The union has been a big proponent of the bills, and Newsom has proven to be a big proponent of the union. There might be people who don't like Dolly Parton, but you'll probably never meet one. The legendary singer recently created family meal kits where people can eat Dolly's cooking in their home, and they really are her own recipes. Parton also weighed in on Beyoncé's country album, saying she really liked it and is open to doing a duet with her at some point. She called Taylor Swift a great inspiration and said we need uplifting people these days. Kind of like Dolly Parton. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly sunny, highs near 84. Showers and storms are likely tonight. Some heavy rainfall is possible, lows around 61. For Friday, becoming sunny with a high near 80. Saturday, sunshine, a high near 81.
Right now, it's 55.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we make our popcorn pick of the week, and David Desimone, director of the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva, joins the show to talk about Victorian spiritualism.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. So our question tonight is, who makes the best coffee? And it doesn't have to be a store or a diner. It can be you, a brand you buy at the store. You want to go Starbucks, you can go Starbucks. Gloria Jeans, whatever. From the 920, Steve says, Pete, you just brought back great memories from my grandpa and grandma's cottage in Three Lakes, too. Wow. That's pretty cool. Conrad, that's your dad.
Yeah.
Have you been to Three Lakes?
I have not, actually.
He says Big Lake Loop. I don't know what that is. My grandma's place, though, Steve, was on Big Stone Lake. Beautiful lake. He says my grandma, too, for morning breakfast, had fresh brewed coffee from Folgers, fried eggs and bacon in a cast iron skillet. That is exactly what my grandma did. I can still smell that, too, which is priceless. It is a great sense memory. Do you guys like bacon?
Love it.
Oh, for sure. It's kind of a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Those are the voices of two members of the Hendrix family. Carl and Peggy join me here to discuss their business, the Hendrix Family Distillery in Eureka, Wisconsin, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, Peggy, you're the mom. You're kind of the overseer of the business.
That's right.
And, Carl, you are the, what title? Are you just the distiller, or what do they call you?
I run production. I'm the master distiller.
Master distiller. Yep. Nice. That's a great title. Do girls love that?
I don't think it impresses them as much as I'd like.
Oh, well, I'm impressed. Great to have you guys here. Thank you for being in the studio here. This fascinates me because I've wanted to, like, I've said this before on the show, there's wineries everywhere. There are craft breweries everywhere. At least in my circles, I don't meet a lot of people who make spirits. So are there a lot of places like you guys have here in Wisconsin?
Well, son, it's very strange because Carl came with the idea in 2011, and we first got out on the shelves, got our federal permit in 2013. At that time, we were the 8th distillery in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
2 years ago, there was over 40 distilleries in the state.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the number is right now. You know, there's new ones, there's ones that's gone out of business, but I know that's what the figure was 2 years ago.
So, I mean, do you guys consider, did you get in on the ground floor, so to speak? It seems like you were one of the first, but did you get in at a good time?
Oh, I think so. I think so. Yeah. When isn't a good time to drink alcohol, though?
When you're driving, maybe?
Right.
Not in Wisconsin. Right. Beer
doesn't drink
count,
and drive. Yes.
Right. We just played a clip from The Simpsons when Homer took a tour of the Duff Brewery and they left and they were all soused because they had all the samples and the cops were waiting around the corner.
Yeah.
Do you find that when people tour your place, do you give them samples and do they get
their
cars? And
well, a lot of times people will have designated drivers, but we are very careful. People can get drinks with our products. But then I also make 12 different flavors of Shines. And I give tours and tastings by appointment, and everything's free. But wow. I use communion cups,
okay,
which is nice.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, just make believe it's Sunday. You know.
Feel a little holier when you leave, sure.
And then my son made me top. So we only pour just enough to get on your tongue to get the flavor. Because there are 12 different flavors of Shines besides all our spirits.
I'm going to plead ignorance here. When you say shines, what does that mean? Like, is that a spirit?
Okay, well, moonshine. Basically, what happens when we first started, Carl's idea was to make Wisconsin's number one premium vodka. Everybody goes, well, you guys going to make a flavored vodka? And I'm going, no, I hate flavored vodkas. And I really do. I think they taste artificial. They're too sweet. But I retired in 2018 from a paper mill, and I told the boys, I'm going to start making some moonshine. Well, they started having conniptions, and I told them, I go, you guys know, legally, there is no such thing as moonshine. It's a slang word. It's a neutral spirit, and everybody makes it because when it comes off the still, it's not a spirit until it goes through whatever the federal government tells you it has to do before you can call it vodka or bourbon or whiskey or anything else like that.
Really?
So I told him, I go, this is going to be a quality product, basically. It's our vodka. But I did proof these down to 50 proof. Most people think that Shines are very high proof, you know, but it can be any proof you want because according to the federal government, it's a distilled spirit specialty product.
Wow.
And they are delicious. They're all potato-based, 100% gluten-free. And we get all natural flavors. We get those from infusions.
When you say potato-based, and I that was one of my questions about vodka. There's like, I hear of all these different vodkas. Was it always potato-based, or is that what makes it gluten-free?
Well, basically, that's what makes it gluten-free. But it's kind of strange. I always thought all vodkas were made out of potato. And then I went to another distillery. In fact, the very first distillery in the state of Wisconsin, Great Lakes Distillery down in Milwaukee. And I talked to Guy Rehorse. He goes, oh, nobody makes a potato vodka. Only 3% of all vodkas made in the United States are potato. Almost everything else is corn or grain. So I'm thinking this is great because we're farmers. We grow corn. And so I come home and tell Carl this. And what did Carl say? Oh, no.
We're making potato vodka.
Yeah.
So,
and I go, why?
It takes an awful lot of potatoes because a potato only has 20% starch value, where corn is in the 70s.
Oh.
If you do it properly, it has a very nice, sweet, easygoing flavor profile. And yeah. I find it that it, if done right, would make the best vodka.
Really? And how did you come to that? Like, how did you become a master distiller? Like, what did you have to study, Carl, to do that?
Well, my experience was in started in ethanol, and so it's basically making 200 proof corn whiskey for gasoline. I was in engineering and project management for basically my whole working career, and I had a good experience basically doing that because I was able to interact and get to know very well some of the best minds, fermentation, distillation experts in the world. When you're doing new projects also, you get to know all the different technologies and you get to talk to all the top engineers that, you know, that made these technologies. And so you kind of get a good feel for what, it, you know, what's available out there, what's the best, and really learned from that. There was a lot to be learned as far as going into the flavor, you know, away from the fuel, mm-hmm. into making it for quality. But that's basically where, you know, I got my
wow.
experience from.
So, these big machines, like, is it a big undertaking when you start a distillery? Are you shelling out major bucks? Like, is it the machinery the main part of it, or is it more nuanced in the technique when you mix it and create it? What are you looking at there, like, when you're in the early stages?
So what we had set up is a continuous fractional distillation system. It's a very good system at being able to remove impurities. It's very efficient energy-wise, and at being able to remove or have control of being able to remove certain impurities or keep it there or whatever. So the equipment, we were able to keep the capital costs very low. We built everything ourselves, so I designed it, the system itself, all the distillation systems, all the trays, everything that's in internals into the system. And my brother is a stainless welder and a fabricator. So he put the system together. My father is he built like their home and the garage and everything. And Mom, you can step in if you'd like. But
okay, yeah. And you know, that's the number one question everybody says. Well, how did you guys ever get started? And I go, well, you gotta know a little bit about us. You know, my husband worked for construction for many years. Now he works on a big family farm, but really he's a jack of all trades. We live in a very rural area, but we live in a log house. He built that, all our shops. We raise elk, the elk building, and he built the distillery. He can do plumbing, he can do electrical, he can pour concrete. Everything down there we built completely ourselves. My oldest son is a custom fabricator. And like Carl said, you know, he fell in love with this distillation. So one day in 2011, he caught a meeting and he goes, I want a family meeting with you, Pa, and Zach. Now, I'm a nervous wreck because we have three kids, never had a family meeting, you know.
Oh,
but
boy.
Anyhow, yeah, I was very nervous. But anyhow, his plan was he thought between the four of us, we could custom design, build, and run a distillery. And so that's why all of us are so, this business needs all four of us. And in fact, Pete, I know that your listeners can't see this, but this is what he sold us on. Basically, it's
like
the whole
blueprint?
Plan. Yep, the whole plan of the distillery.
It's a piping and instrument diagram is what it is. And basically every piece of equipment that would be going into the system, every valve, every instrument, you know, flow meter, anything like that, is showing on that sheet.
Is this what you brought to the family meeting?
I did, yes.
Because I got to be honest, at our family meetings, it's pick up your clothes, do your chores, sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it and I couldn't make heads or tails of nothing. I just saw a bunch of red things. You know, Carl goes, those are valves. I go, I guess we're going to be buying a lot of valves. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
But Jim and Zach could see it. And I'll tell you, it does make the best spirits that I know. In fact, Pete, we bought you gifts. When you get home,
oh,
we bought you a bottle of Pure Class Vodka. This is our flagship
look
product.
At that.
We're making whiskey now. Bourbon will be online in November. Like I said, 12 different flavors of Shines. But that's our bottle. And we did spend a lot of time and money in that bottle.
I was going to say, this is a really slick looking
it is.
Bottle and
but you got,
packaging.
Look, there are thousands of different kinds of vodkas out there. And our idea was, if the bottle stood out, somebody would see in the store first and just buy it for the bottle. And then they take it home and try it. They go, wow, this stuff is amazing. Let's go back and buy some more.
You know, I got to be honest, I love the grays. Because that's kind of what vodka, I know vodka is clear, but this is what, like, you go into the store and there's all these red, like, Smirnoff and Fleischmann's, whatever it is, and then you got the higher end ones, Grey Goose. This just looks,
and then you
really
know
slick.
That
I
top,
like this a lot.
That top is a glass top, and I always tell people, if you're a wine drinker, they'll fit almost any wine bottle.
Is there?
Yeah. But I also asked people that drink wine, well, you know, you're not supposed to have any left, are you?
That's right. This is very nice. Thank you. I was going to say, I have not had a drink in almost 2 years.
Oh.
Now, but I haven't quit permanently. I just kind of took a break and I kept going with it. But I have to say, having the two of you here is really making me want to have a drink.
Well,
I may have
like
to pop
Zach
this open
Hoy
on the way
says,
home.
Our oldest son says, even if you don't drink, you certainly know somebody who does.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to give this away, though, just because of the bottle. Conrad, look at this. Does that make you thirsty?
Yes, it does.
He's already drunk.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that. That's just one of our rack cards. It's just a short explanation of who we are in the back. Some of the awards we've won. We've won 26 gold awards, you know, with our vodka plus numerous silvers and bronze. And that's just what I give out at tours, you know, and with our phone number and website, Facebook, things like that.
I love it. Thank you very much. This is very nice.
You're welcome.
So you guys, all right, where was I going with this? I wanted to ask you about, so it was immediately, you had this family meeting. Was everybody on board right away? Or did there take some convincing? Was it like, oh my gosh, that's great. We can drink all day and set up a booze situation. Now, how'd that go?
Well, I can tell you because the boys were for it right away, but I was the one holding out. I just, looking at that blueprint, I just saw a lot of money going out the door. And I go, I really don't think I have that much in my 401k.
It's risky, I'm sure. I'm sure you were like, ooh, boy.
But, you know, I give a lot of tours and stuff, and somebody told me, and I thought was awesome, how many people have a dream but never act on it?
Right.
We acted on our dream.
You sure did.
And
this
I'm very proud of my boys.
That was a huge blessing.
Yeah. All right. I've got a ton more questions for you guys. So it's good that you're here. Carl
I'll
and Peggy Hendricks. No. Listen, I talk all the time. I'm glad you're here. Carl and Peggy Hendricks are here from the Hendricks Distillery in Eureka, Wisconsin. We'll have more with them and their really cool products. That's what we're talking about tonight here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. This one goes out to all the grandmas and grandpas who are sitting on some extra money in your bank accounts. Today, we are going to talk about the gift tax exclusion. In the year of our Lord 2024, the gift tax exclusion is $18,000. That means you can give members of your family up to $18,000 American dollars as a gift without you or them paying taxes on it. Financial advisors call this reducing your estate. Normal folks like us call it giving money to your family before you die so you can reduce the taxes that have to get paid. If it seems like there's going to be some left over when you pass, this might be something to think on. You could use the gift tax exclusion to your mutual benefit and maybe even pass on some money lessons to your loved ones. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here's what we got. Andrew from Verona says, I make the best espresso. See, I love espresso, and I don't do that really at home. I do a dark roast coffee. I know it's not the same thing, but that's a good one too, Andrew. Are you guys coffee drinkers?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yes.
I thought like this would be a good sort of tie-in because we're talking spirits with you guys. Then I have a woman coming out in the second hour who's going to talk about wine, so I figured coffee is a good...
And I have two shines that mix excellent with coffee, my salted caramel and my coffee. And you put that in your coffee? Oh, yeah.
Boy, you guys are talking like you're these country people, but you have a serious, sophisticated palate for like coffees and booze. That's really impressive. Are you drinkers?
Yes.
Like casual or... You know, do you really hit it?
Oh, I figure casual. Yeah. But I only drink, I tell people I think we make the best spirits in the world, but I'm still a beer drinker. I'm the only one from the family that does not drink the profits.
Wow. Okay. No, but you spend it to buy the beer, right?
She calls it that. I call it QA.
Yeah.
Quality assurance.
So what is your drink of choice, Carl?
You know, I drink the vodka more than anything, but... I guess we started making bourbon, and I make all the recipes and everything like that. So I do a lot of quality checks and try to make sure that it's the correct recipe and, you know, the proper barrel, you know, and everything so.
I'm going to make this weird leap here. My guests, by the way, are Carl and Peggy Hendricks. They own the Hendricks Family Distillery in Eureka, Wisconsin. It's about 20 miles west of Oshkosh. Check it out. They give tours. It sounds like just an amazing place, and they have this really cool Pure Class vodka, which they gifted me here, a bottle, and it is probably the slickest-looking bottle, and that's what I mean. This is big city stuff here, country people. That looks it's beautiful. So what is your favorite drink is vodka, would you say?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How long does it take? Because for a while I got into whiskey, Irish whiskey, and scotch. We may have talked about this on the phone, Carl, but I know it takes a long time sometimes for the whiskey or the scotch to sort of age or whatever you call it. Is there a process with vodka where it has to go through the same? Does it have to age, or is it good right when it comes out?
It doesn't have to age, but if you leave it sit, and it's all dependent on proof and headspace in the tank. You can just leave it even in a stainless tank. You can call it like letting it rest, if you will.
Okay.
It'll actually smooth out a little bit and become a little nicer if you let it age.
Okay. But that process, how long are we talking there?
Some people take it, you know, pretty extreme. You know, I think I've heard some people holding up to 6 months. We don't typically let it go that long. I think we are probably like a few weeks to a month.
Yeah, less than that, depending how fast I need it. But like you said, whiskey and bourbon, brandy, our dark rum is completely different.
Is that takes longer, right?
Oh, yeah.
To get it. How frustrating of a process is that? Like when you have to be that patient, when you put something together and you go, I can't serve this for a year or 10 years.
Oh, it's a minimum of 2 years.
Wow.
You know, very minimum.
So you can't, from the day you started, you make it, you can't sell it for 2 years. That's got to be frustrating.
But it's very exciting when that two-year mark comes, which will be November 12th of this year for our bourbon.
Oh, very nice.
So our very first barrel of bourbon.
So 6 months for vodka. What's the easiest of the spirits to make from your standpoint, Carl? You're the master distiller. What is the most, or least tedious, I guess?
The moonshine. But I say that because I just make the alcohol. And so then I hand it off to her, and she's got to blend it and do all the infusions. And so there's a lot more that goes into it. But on my end, there's no other processing required after I get it off the distillation system. And where the vodka, you know, you have to run it through activated carbon and stuff like that.
So, okay, Oh, that's interesting. So what would you say, do you guys sell the most vodka as opposed to the other ones? Or are you, I mean, if you can answer this sort of, it'll be subjective maybe, but what are you best at making in your, I know you like to make vodka, you like to drink vodka. What do you think you're, what spirit are you like, oh man, I did a good job here.
I would say all of them, but Pure Class, you got to look, that's our flagship product. And, you know, the bourbon is just coming out in November. We did, Carl did make one barrel of whiskey, and we emptied that. We emptied out the barrel, 2 weeks ago? Yeah. And bottled it up, and I have 10 bottles left.
Oh, my gosh.
That whole barrel. And people say it's just extremely smooth, very good. But we're just coming into the age products and stuff. And they're all very, very good. But the vodka's our flagship product. You got to look. We didn't start age products until 9 years after we started the distillery.
You said you guys both like living out in the country. That's where your business is. Is it easier to have it out there because you have space or people leave you alone? I don't know if that matters, but or would it be easier if you were in a city from a business standpoint? Does it matter?
I really don't think it matters. I consider ourselves manufacturers, but people come out for tours, but they come out and it's really an experience to get out in the country. Yeah. And out in the wide open and see all the fields. And like I said, we raise elk. Come and look at the elk. Come and sit in our tasting room, which is full of elk antler, you know.
And if you have too much to drink and wander into a cornfield, no harm, no
yeah,
foul.
No,
it's not like you're on a freeway or something.
All right.
All right. Carl and Peggy Hendricks are here. We'll have a few more minutes with them coming up after Civic Media award-winning news. We're talking spirits. That's booze, folks, here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Acted real naive, knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe. We will bring you all the action, yodelers, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin on Capitol Hill.
The bill is not passed.
Lawmakers in the House have rejected Speaker Mike Johnson's bill to temporarily fund the government and avoid a partial shutdown October 1st. The problem for Democrats, a mandate included that would require proof of citizenship when you register to vote in national elections. Speaker Johnson.
Now we go back to the playbook. We'll draw up another play and we'll come up with a solution. I'm already talking to colleagues about their many ideas. We have time to fix the situation and we'll get right to it.
Former President Trump zeroed in on illegal immigration at a massive rally on Long Island last night.
They're destroying our country. We're getting them out.
Vice President Harris courted the Latino vote at an event for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute.
They have pledged to carry out the largest deportation, a mass deportation, in American history. How's that going to happen? Massive raids?
The FBI says it's found evidence of an attempt to tamper with the election. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
U.S. intelligence disclosed that this summer,
there was a hacking campaign by Iranian actors where they stole information from the Trump campaign and sent it to members of the Biden campaign.
A former Biden campaign official tells CBS News that material was not used. Israel says it's bombed southern Lebanon today and also thwarted an Iranian-backed assassination plot. Comes a day after a second wave of deadly explosions involving booby-trapped devices in Lebanon, the BBC's Hugo Bechega.
I was in southern Beirut when one of those explosions happened. There was panic because